We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Rachel Hawken. Rachel is the entrepreneur who started Drift, a custom food truck inspired from her time in New Zealand. She graduated from Iowa State University with a BS in business marketing, and after graduation, spent her 20s working as an IT consultant and traveling and living abroad. Upon return to the States, she started a family and now has two young children. Rachel's desire to own her own business and share her experience drove her to open Drift. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm excited for you to share your story with our listeners. Why don't you start by just talking a little bit about Drift and why did you decide to start it?
Yeah. So Drift has been my own business has been like a passion of mine for a really long time. I used to live in New Zealand and going on the beach and going for a swim or surf, you come out and there's usually like a cool custom open air food truck. Mm-hmm. They all look different and you can, you know, grab a cup of coffee and something hot, like a hot pie or a crumpet or something, mm-hmm. you know, truly down under. So coming back here, I wanted to bring that uniqueness to the food truck industry and start something that was truly unique in the Third Ward. I opened in July 2017 down in the Third Ward, 330 North Broadway. And it's been amazing. It's launched me into to where I am today with the business. But I wanted to build the trailer from scratch, and it was a complete passion project. Most people probably don't know this, but the trailer, it was just a brand new car trailer bed. It didn't have any walls or anything. So designing that took several months. Wow. And then building that and, you know, still tweaking it to this uh-huh. day to make sure it's like perfect and working right. But I wanted that open air concept so anyone could come up and really feel like that connection with whoever's in the trailer, whoever's working in mm-hmm. it, and make that face-to-face connection and want to come back.
Totally. That's cool. I didn't realize that you actually built the entire trailer. That's even more awesome. And I can say it does seem more inviting than other food trucks that I've encountered because I feel like they're just tiny little windows where you have this like really big, open, warm experience at your truck. So thank you for doing that and bringing something from overseas to our beautiful city of Milwaukee here.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, and this is great timing, seeing as it's been negative a gazillion degrees these last couple of days, how do you deal with the off-season of business?
I mean, this week has definitely been challenging. We slow down in the winter for sure. I will do a lot more indoor pop-ups mm-hmm. With bars and large events. So, you know, if the event venue can handle it, I will bring the trailer in and set up indoors, but obviously a garage needs to be big enough, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
There's a lot less people out and about. There's some difficulties with, you know, water, like the simplicity of like water freezing. So it does make it a lot more challenging. We do increase our wholesale orders, our take and bakes, and do deliveries more so in the winter. And then just do a lot of planning for the next upcoming season.
Sure. So obviously your prime season is those nice warm months.
Yeah, spring, summer, fall.
Walking
absolutely.
Past the truck going, oh, it's this.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
We're not out and about as much in winter. It's more for events and private bookings and festivals. Yeah.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yep.
So what do you do to recharge as you're kind of constantly working away at all these things, I imagine?
Yes.
You need some recharging time. What do you do?
It's definitely an ongoing business with lots of little quirks and things that to keep it going. But I do a lot of yoga. I love working out. I think it was like 2013. I did my yoga teacher training, and I dabbled as a yoga teacher for a few years, just as very part-time work, and that was really nice. But I genuinely just love doing yoga. It relaxes me. It'll calms me down after a big day of exertion.
So you're more of an end of day yoga doer?
Yes. Yeah, end of day yoga or workout. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting because I like the mornings, but my husband is totally a night owl like that.
Is he? And yeah. No. I'm not. I own a coffee truck, but I'm not a morning person.
Okay. And you have to get there. Okay. In the summertime, what time are you typically opening up then?
Well, it actually varies. So sometimes we have like farmers markets that will be open by 8, which means I'm out of the house at like 5:30 or 6 a.m. But we do a lot of night events. Yeah. And we'll be open till like 11 or 12 at night as well. So the hours vary widely, depending what we're doing and like what service we're doing, as opposed to coffee to food to desserts.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I love yoga, but I'm more of a morning yoga person, I guess.
Yeah.
I like it to get the day kind of freeing, opening it up and, setting the mindset and intention to some degree.
I think it was all the years of like gymnastics and like
after school
it was
type
after
things.
School, yeah. Yeah. And it'd be like 3 hours. So it's like, that's my workout time. I feel like I'm set for life.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, so the purpose of this show is to help alleviate the fear of networking for our listeners, and really showcase the value that building a strong networking community around you as a professional helps get you to where you are today. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Yeah, I've had a lot. So this is hard to choose from. So I feel like in my IT world, it was more structured with the corporate networking and making those relationships for another consulting or contract position. Whereas this is really very like authentic, and I am selling myself and my business, and it's very genuine and to succeed. So my favorite experience, I think, has just been when I was in the Third Ward. It was – I have two.
Share them both then.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. It was the first August that I opened. It was a very quiet Saturday, which was like very rare for the Third Ward. Mm-hmm. And I had this girl, Kate, stop by the trailer, and she just sat there for like 45 minutes. She got a few things, and we were just chatting. She worked in production, and I ended up getting a random production job out of it, which was perfect because it was like towards the end of the season and it kind of floated me out through winter. But on like more of a drift business one, also sitting in the Third Ward, someone came by walking their dogs. It was like, oh, this is really cool. And that people say that all the time, and oh, I'm going to get a hold of you, and we're going to do an event. And it actually turned out to be the House of Harley.
Oh, cool!
And I did their HD 115
year
for, and that was the biggest event by far we've ever done. It was a 6-day event back to back, and 12-hour day. It was great. It was very cool. So that was a really cool opportunity. I didn't know who the person was when they walked up, and I didn't really think anything of it until I got an email like 3 days later.
Sure. And I'm sure you've heard
but
that.
But I remember
number
it.
Of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting with that, and something I guess we haven't touched on too much in this show, is that your location is probably a big factor in that opportunity that presented itself, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Location, and I mean, it stands out. It's like, it's pretty loud, in the sense of it is open air, but then, I have graffiti on the pavement, and and there's tables and chairs. It's just something that you don't normally see in Milwaukee. You may see that in Austin,
sure,
or like other parts of, you know, San Diego or something like that. But
all the cool places.
All the really cool. Milwaukee's
cool. In its own different way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But so those are just opportunities and networking things that have just like, you just never know who you're going to meet,
totally.
I guess, and see where that goes.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with all of this.
Yeah, nice. So you've been in a couple of different professional fields, and you've obviously traveled the world and built quite an extensive network. How do you stay in front of our best nurturer, this community that you've developed?
Sorry, can you say that again?
How do you nurture your network?
How do I nurture my network? I think it's just, it's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm constantly in communication with people within even the IT field, but also Drift is daily, making those connections with other food truck vendors,
mm-hmm.
other owners, making connections with event coordinators and seeing what's coming up and, you know, doing coffees or go grabbing a bite to eat and talking about our season and, you know, what worked and what didn't. And just kind of making those, like, genuine connections and relationships.
Okay. So is there a frequency or strategy behind? Like, it sounds like you get together with some of these individuals.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's a set strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It is just... we see each other so much during the season. You know, it is a very small community of
mm-hmm.
these mobile vendors and event coordinators. So we see each other so much throughout the high season that when the season kind of ends in winter, it's nice to get together over the phone or in person and just, you know, continue that relationship and see. Yeah, just. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I get it. Definitely makes sense. It's nice to have a network of individuals that are doing exactly the same thing that you're doing. I mean, to some degree, there's probably a level of competitiveness aligned with that. But I'd say you're getting more out of supporting each other and being a resource to each other and probably being somewhat of a cheerleader for each other than anything else.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they'll recommend me and I'll recommend them. It's, you know, it's a very supportive relationship and supportive industry. But saying that, like, I do create relationships with other mm-hmm. industries because I really like to understand how other people do their business.
Yeah.
Even though it's a completely different business,
totally.
It's still business. And it's really interesting to like talk about some of their challenges and hear how they maybe dealt with it.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of overlap with marketing
mm-hmm.
and accounting and all, you know, all
everyone's
the different
got the same hurdles
like,
in business,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Hearing their horror stories
yeah.
and then also like the really great achievements and like how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of that is, I do put myself out there a lot, and I'm open to, you know, connecting with people and then
totally.
Finding out what they do and learning more about that.
Awesome. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I think it is key to put a plan together, to
mm-hmm.
sit back and understand where you want your business to go first. Before you can even decide how you're going to go about growing your network. And that'll really dictate, you know, the target market that you're doing, where you want, like what product you're selling
mm-hmm.
or what you're selling and how you're going to go about doing that. So putting a plan together and then targeting that either on websites. I mean, I heavily do social media and website and events. But there's all sorts of different ways you can really start to market. For example, I'm starting to look at doing more like private catering and weddings. And I'm looking at getting some pamphlets and marketing materials printed
yep.
and putting some money into that venture to see where that goes.
Sure.
So I can do some of the wedding expos and, you know, having it look top-notch.
Well, I'm sure just bringing your trailer to the expo itself would stand out, right?
Yeah, it would. But if they're indoors, you just get, you know, yeah. Usually it's just like a booth. So that's what I'm currently doing. I'm looking at what materials do I need to bring? Yep. Like what are my offerings for these type of events, and how do I want that presented? Because whatever's presented here is going to be the expectation for when I bring it out.
Absolutely. So you mentioned doing some activities online, but also having a lot of conversations in person. Digital networking or traditional networking? Which one do you find more value in?
So do you mean digital by like online, social media, and then traditional, just like the face-to-face? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a hard one. Mm-hmm. It's definitely both.
Yep.
To say one is bigger than the other, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's definitely like a 50-50 split, but the traditional marketing and word of mouth is probably greater. Because it's like that actual experience that someone has come to your trailer, seen it, and come to your business, seen it, and had that experience, positive or negative, and then is going to go tell somebody about it. Like that person they tell might go to your social media page. So Correct. It's all interconnected.
Yep. It really is. I agree with that. And word of mouth can be in that traditional space or that digital space. I mean, a lot of people like to voice their opinion online, positive or negative, about an experience that they've had. But if it is positive, I mean, there's been really interesting outcomes based on, you know, one positive tweet about an experience somewhere, and then that person's business just blew up, right?
Yep.
In a positive way, not a negative way. So hence that goes back to the value of nurturing those relationships so that people do want to say nice things about you. All right, so if you could go back to your 20-year-old self while you were traveling the world, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I would think I would have taken the risk a lot earlier.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes. I've always wanted to own my own business, and I don't think I was ready to take on the risk and everything that includes, because, you know, you pour your life into starting your own business, and that's, you know, your time, your physical state, mental state, and then also I've poured all my money into it, and that is a huge risk.
Yep.
I maybe couldn't have afforded to do something like that when I was younger, in my 20s, and I saved and, you know, did all of that, but I think doing something at a smaller scale would have been, great.
That's really interesting, and I say that's interesting because I took the risk when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I often say that I wish I would have had a little bit more mentoring before I got started.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's all about perspective, right?
Yeah, it is.
So I felt that I was more naive than I realized I was when I was younger. I can do it all, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I look back and go, wow, I made a lot of mistakes, but I think if I would have had one more job at a different company to learn from someone else, I probably could have saved myself some of those headaches. But then I hear you saying, I wish I would have started earlier. You know, I guess it's all about perspective, right?
It is all about perspective. I think I was just scared to do the jump. And I didn't know, I didn't have anything that was, specifically exactly what I wanted to do until, the food truck came. And then I was, 100%, all time was spent, you know, focusing on that, and, you know.
So at what point did that aha moment happen for you?
The idea came in the last few years when I was in New Zealand, and then I started a family and moved back to New Zealand, or not New Zealand, Milwaukee, where I'm from. My family's from here. And I still really wanted to pursue this idea, and it really started with the idea of custom building a trailer. Total obsession. I think I obsessed more about that than the long-term business, because it was so much fun to build and be really creative and design and learn how to use tools. I've never done these things before. It was a really great learning experience.
Did you document that entire experience?
I wish I like had one of those cameras that people do and they like document it all. No, but there's pictures like along the way.
That's cool. Have you shared that story online?
I don't think so. Oh, no, not really.
You should totally do that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's interesting. And obviously the passion is just exuded in you telling the story right now. Why not push that passion further out to the world?
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay. So the trailer was finished, right? I had like my first like event.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, time to do business.
It's real. It's happening. How are we going to make this, this work? Right?
So yeah, the idea was having it as a, like a semi-perm truck in the Third Ward, and then doing events and stuff as well. Yeah. And it's kind of just been, I've experienced a lot and tried a lot of events and farmers markets and big festivals and private party, and it's been amazing. So it's been this process of seeing what works, what doesn't, what we like doing, and where we want to go with it now.
So why the Third Ward?
So the Third Ward, that parking spot, so this all goes back to networking.
Yep.
I knew the operator of the parking lot.
Okay.
And had a really good relationship with operator and owner, and proposed this idea of, hey, this is like a blank spot just right next to the sidewalk. Would love to try this like perma cafe, semi-perm cafe that you'd see in Austin.
Yeah.
And they were really supportive and took on the idea.
That's awesome.
Let me spray paint the parking lot. And it's kind of amazing when I sit here and think about it.
Because
they could
have
easily said no.
Yeah.
And then I don't know actually what I would have done.
Well, plan A worked, so that's good.
Which is also good, but yeah.
That's awesome. I love it.
It allowed me to be really creative and
Very cool. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the sixth degree?
I would love to connect with like Martha Stewart.
Okay.
I hope that's not too ridiculous.
No. I love it.
So I grew up watching her on TV, right? Like I learned how to, my aunts are great cooks.
Uh-huh.
My mom can cook like desserts and breakfast. So like everything else was like, I had to learn. So Martha Stewart kind of taught me how to do that. And it was really fun watching her do that. And she's a great business woman. So I would love to, I don't know how the 6 degrees would work on that one, but I'm sure one day, right?
Well, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a starting point, right? You know someone who knows someone who knows someone.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be the connection with the girl who popped on the trailer last year that works in production. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. You have no idea, right?
No idea.
Well, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask, right?
Right. It doesn't.
What's the worst that could happen?
Right.
Cool. I hope that you have the opportunity to connect with her and have that conversation with her and network and just start building relationship. I know it would take time.
Yeah.
But you have to start that journey somewhere in order to make it happen.
I think that's like the dream one. I think on like a local level, I would love to like meet with someone like Scott Johnson, who, you know, has, you know, some very successful restaurants.
I happen to know him, actually. Oh. I play hockey with him.
We've been in like communication over email.
Okay.
And I'm participating in Mama Tried at the rave with Drift. So that's been awesome. But I would still like love to meet him and pick his brain and just learn about how he all got started.
He's a fascinating gentleman.
Because I think it is very fascinating. Uh-huh. And he seems very successful at what he does in Milwaukee.
Well, I'm glad you said that. And this is every venture he's gone on has been, at least that I'm aware of, has been successful.
Yeah, right? I'm sure he probably has stories of not, but he seems very, like, very, very successful.
He's got it figured out.
He has it figured out, for sure.
All right, Rachel, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Just believe in yourself. So really, my biggest thing is putting myself out there. You know, you're in control of your own destiny. So the more you put yourself out there and the the more you value these connections, the more successful and the more successful those relationships will be, and the more they will just grow.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think that's great. You do have to take control and just say, this is going to happen and move forward, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, you do.
That's great.
And trust yourself in what you're doing, because I think, especially when you start a new business, you know, there's those times of doubt, and it's just keep going with it because it'll work if you believe in it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Great. So if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
Best way is to email me at driftmke@gmail.com. Check out our social media on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at driftmke. And yeah, our website, www.driftmke.com.
Awesome. And we will include all of those links in our show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
It was a fun conversation. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Rachel for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.